Moshe. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're tuning in right now, welcome to Live Talk at The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, a Voice of America, on Tuesday, April 19, 2022. Mtsakazo Moshe, Zimbabwe Moshe. I'm your host, Mike Ore. Once again, Muriel Zimbabwe, Lingali Chonan Jadam Togazumuke, Uncle Montong, and I would fellow, so Gomgela, good fellow little, Labasakulayo, Tinum Kamchram Chongachevich, Niki Muriel Zimbabwe, welcome. At the Live Talk at The Connection, the Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Muriel Zimbabwe, we're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. Nasum Chongachevich, Niki, Namchanga, good fellow little, Labasakulayo. Tonight on Live Talk The Connection, we're going to be focusing on Independence Day, Zimbabwe's Independence Day, April the 18th. Now, this is a day that's been met with a mixed emotions by Zimbabwean youths, with some highlighting the importance or the value of the day or the relevance of the day to Zimbabwean youth, and others arguing that the challenges that are faced by the Zimbabwean youth on a day-to-day basis are making the a day less relevant by the year. So each year, when we come by and say, "Woo, happy Independence Day," some are arguing, well, what independence? We speak to several youth to hear their thoughts on Independence Day. But now, unfortunately, Muriel Zimbabwe, tonight's program is a pre-recorded broadcast. What that means is you, our loyal listeners, will not be able to call in live as per usual. However, Chichiritose, Sisonke, Konapa Gushelo Lutu, Labasakulayo, Msagazweni, we're Studio 7, Chichiritose, Pano Panepenure, Studio 7, Muriel Zimbabwe. So as we speak, we're streaming this program on our three Facebook pages, adapting VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele Ganyelago, VOA Studio 7. So as usual, like I always ask Muriel Zimbabwe, do not forget to press the share button so that we can watch the program in our numbers. Now, for our YouTube fanatics, we're broadcasting on YouTube as we speak. Our official page is at VOA Zimbabwe. I repeat, at VOA Zimbabwe. We're also live on our three web pages, that being www.voanw.com, www.voashona.com, and of course, www.voazimbabwe.com. So, Muriel Zimbabwe, mtsakazo mohle, linga kohle, sikhona ku Facebook, sikhona ku YouTube, sikhona njalo on our three web pages, linga kohle ku fitisela lapha ukubhala ukuthi share. Do not forget to press the share button so that we can watch the program in our numbers. Also, linga kohle ku fitisela lapha ukubhala ukuthi like, kutinya that like, the heart button, so that we see that ngempela ngempela sisonke we're together like so here on a Live Talk at The Connection. And do not forget, most importantly, Muriel Zimbabwe, to put your comments in the comment section so that we receive your feedback. So that's our tonight's discussion, Muriel Zimbabwe. Unfortunately, it's a pre-recorded broadcast, but we still will appreciate your feedback. As usual, let us kickstart our program with an update on COVID-19. Now, according to the latest statistics released by Zimbabwe's Ministry of Health and Childcare, Zimbabwe currently has recorded over 249,297 COVID-19 cases, 241,112 recoveries, and 5,464 deaths. So the numbers again, 247,291 97 COVID-19 cases, 241,112 recoveries, and 5,464 deaths. Now, last night alone, Zimbabwe reported 19 new COVID-19 cases, 100 recoveries, and 1 death. So that's last night, 19 new COVID-19 cases, 100 recoveries, and 1 death. To date, the amount of people that have taken the COVID-19 vaccine, first jab is 5,794,196. That's the amount of people who have taken the first jab. And the amount of people who are fully vaccinated against the COVID-19 pandemic are 3,615,160. So those numbers again are 5,794,196 have taken the first jab of the COVID-19 vaccine, and 3,615,000 160 are fully vaccinated against the COVID-19. So those are the latest COVID-19 stats in Zimbabwe. To all who are joining us right now, Muriya Zimbabwe, welcome, welcome, welcome. You tuned in just in time for us to jump into tonight's discussion as we focus on Independence Day. But before we do that, let us head over to a message there by Mr. Tidarira Swa, Justin Dunze, who partners up with Roots Africa on a COVID-19 message. Let's head over to that message. There was Mr. Tidarira Swa in Darira, just you know, they're partnering up with Roots Africa on a COVID-19 message. They answer Kezai Maoko Muriya Zimbabwe Kezai Maoko are Gai Kusaungana Nekuti COVID-19 Achirwere Chiripo. So there is Lugandaba Umlaezo Ovela Gucha signal Kunapa Esebenza Ndaonye Labenganiso ye Roots Africa Ekutazu Sulesit I COVID-19 ikona Zulugandaba ikona Bulitiniso. Uyasho ngempela ukuthi gezani izandla lingaminyani hloniphani imithetho ekhona elizweni ejonge ukuvikela ukumemetheka kwe-COVID-19. Sesingena-ke kudaba esilalo kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo to jump into tonight's discussion Muriya Zimbabwe. Independence Day, the 18th of April, a day that started 18 April 1980. And of course, every year is commemorated Independence Day in Zimbabwe, the day that, of course, the official date that marked the changeover into a new administration, into a government of a black majority. Now, Muriya Zimbabwe, as I mentioned earlier on, this day is met but with mixed reviews by Zimbabwean youth, with some highlighting the value of the day and some highlighting the changes and the importance of the day, especially when we talk about its relevance to the youth of the nation, and others arguing that issues such as the unemployment rate, issues such as human rights violations and more are making this day less relevant, are making them feel like what some would say, not yet uhuru, they feel as though they have not received that freedom that was fought for independence. But we're going to be hearing more from the youth of the nation. But before we head over to that, let's head over to an AP report, which documents the history of Zimbabwe. Of course, it doesn't delve into full detail. This was a 30-minute document that we had to cut down to a couple of minutes. But they pretty much highlight the important parts of what happened, which led to Zimbabwe's independence. So let's head over to that clip. And when we come back, we speak to the youth about the relevance of Independence Day.
The Union Jack is lowered for the last time in Rhodesia to mark the end of British rule in Africa. In its place, the new Zimbabwean flag rises as the 50th independent nation of Africa is born. Zimbabwe's independence marks the end of an era. The pioneers who followed Rhodes here nearly a century ago were lured with promises of gold and land. Their dream was to turn this part of Africa into a little England. They named their streets after royalty. Premier Ian Smith had said it would take 1,000 years before majority rule came to Rhodesia. The white dream was swept away this month as Rhodesia's capital gave itself a facelift and prepared for independence. The flypast by the Rhodesian Air Force marked the momentous occasion. Representatives from more than 100 nations arrived to attend the independence celebrations, but there were also the inevitable absentees. Among them, Ian Smith. He was away lecturing in South Africa. South Africa, which had tried to persuade Mr. Smith to agree to majority rule, was unsurprisingly omitted from Mr. Mugabe's guest list. Notable omissions, too, were East Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary and Vietnam. All had been keen supporters of Joshua Nkomo and his Zipra forces. As such, the omissions were seen as a personal snub to Mr. Nkomo and cast the only shadow on an otherwise jubilant occasion. While most of the country's 220,000 whites stayed at home, hundreds of blacks tried to storm Rufaro Stadium to watch the independence celebrations. Few people would have predicted last April that within a year, Zimbabwe would be independent, that the seven-year guerrilla war, in which 27,000 people died, would end so smoothly, and that a high Tory government would oversee the rise to power of Mr. Robert Mugabe, an avowed Marxist. And yet, that's what happened. Mr. Mugabe's massive election victory dispelled the threat of civil war and made the transfer of power easier. Forces that were fighting each other a few months ago joined together as Zimbabwe's National Army.
I, Hector Norman MacDonald, Chief Justice of Zimbabwe.
Chief Justice MacDonald, a die-hard UDI man, called upon the Reverend Kanan Banana, a veteran nationalist campaigner and former detainee of Mr. Smith, to be president of the new republic.
I, Kanan Banana, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Zimbabwe and observe the laws of Zimbabwe. So help me God.
All over the country, Zimbabweans sang and danced through the night. In the aftermath of war, the task of reconstruction will not be easy. A major problem facing Mr. Mugabe, who is also Minister of Defense, is the amalgamation of three different armies, his ZANLA, Joshua Nkomo's ZIPRA, and the White Rhodesian forces. The big question mark is whether Mr. Nkomo, the erstwhile father of Zimbabwe, will settle for a minor role in the new government. A powerful force in Zimbabwean affairs, Mr. Nkomo has so far shown great restraint. He has used his influence to maintain the spirit of peace and unity.
Will take your part in the rebuilding of Zimbabwe. And when I say every one of you, I mean everybody, including those people against whom you fought.
Well, Mudia Zimbabwe, that was an AP clip there. They were documenting what was happening. You heard them talking about the first official, quotes, president of the Republic of Zimbabwe, Mr. Kanan Banana. They spoke, of course, of what happened between Mr. Mugabe and Ubaba Joshua Ngabo Nkomo, and, of course, what led to the official declaration of Zimbabwe as an independent state from the Rhodesian government. But now, since Independence Day, there's also been another, historical moment between 1980 and today that shaped the trajectory of what Zimbabwe is today, contributing to the whole discussion of whether Zimbabwe is independent or not. And that was what happened in 2017, whereby there was a military change and the changeover of government leading into what people are calling the new dispensation or the Second Republic of Zimbabwe, whereby President Emmerson Mnangagwa came into power. Now, this is what led to the changes that a lot of young people were hoping would lead to the empowerment of the youth, would lead to more jobs, as promised by President Emmerson Mnangagwa, and a lot more. But we're going to be having that discussion once again with the youth as to what is the relevance of the Second Republic when we're talking about independence, and what does it mean to the youth of the nation when we talk about 42 years of independence. But let's hear from some of these youth. We'll talk about the relevance of this second historical moment when we're talking about 42 years of independence, which is when there was this military, some will call it a military coup, some will call it a military takeover, some will call it the incoming of the second dispensation, and what has been delivered so far by the second dispensation when we talk about youth empowerment. So let's hear from some of the youth.
I have received, in terms of Section 96, Subsection 1 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, a letter from the President, State House, Harare, Zimbabwe, 31st November 2017. The Honourable General Mondenga, notice of resignation.
Basically, the interpretation of the demise of Robert Mugabe was interpreted in terms of bringing hope in the country of Zimbabwe. You know, after 36 or 37 years of having a dictator at the helm of power, it means, you know, he's a complete overhaul of the system of tyranny. So when Robert Mugabe was ousted, you know, there was hope. People celebrated, thinking that it's because of an individual. So that individual mentality that we had, that, you know, if we deal with this individual, everything is going to go. I think most of the people celebrated. This general feeling was we have succeeded. We have done something that is very historical. But, well, to our disappointment, all those things, and they have multiplied in the current regime. So I must say that for me, it was, you know, a good step in the right direction, not realizing that, you know, the future was, you know, the future is uncertain, and what is at stake after a coup is much larger than what happened, you know, before the coup.
Everyone here is very happy. They're very happy about that Mugabe must go today, not tomorrow, today. We want him to leave the office.
Yes, for me, as a young person in this country, my hopes particularly were directed into, I must just say, mention three key issues for me, which is number one, the political setup. I really looked forward to a change in the system of governance, where we're having people being able to express themselves freely, where we're going to have freedom of speech, where we're going to have freedom of gathering, where we're going to have freedom to affiliate yourself to a political party of choice. So that's what we expected. Economically, whereas you know that we're a generation that has never been given a fair chance, we're a generation that has never seen a payslip, we're a generation that has never been formally employed. It's a kia-kia economy in Shona, where we just wake up and try to make things and hustle up. So we have never really encountered systematic employment. So we hoped that, you know, a new era is going to come onto us, and these young people are going to get jobs, decent jobs, are going to get housing, are going to get, you know, pure salary, a tangible and consistent income that will also help you to plan for your future. So that's, you know, it's an economical aspect. You're going to see, you know, the economy being resuscitated, the currency itself gaining its value, the minerals being equally distributed, development in the communities. That's what you also anticipated, having electricity, because electricity, you know, in Zimbabwe was now a scandal. There was no electricity. So we hoped to get basic social services, electricity, water, all those services coming back to life. You know, Zimbabwe being the real breadbasket of Africa as it was, having the industry being revived. And socially, we expected that we are going to, you know, have education, you know, being restored, quality and affordable education. We are going to have a proper healthcare system, because there is none at the moment. People are just going, you see women giving birth on the streets. All these things, they are happening in the face of government. So we're hoping that, you know, post Mugabe era, we're going to see basic social, you know, services being delivered. And also socially, we are also expecting that as people are going to come together and be united in coming up with a common goal. I think my point of departure will be that the center is not holding. The center is failing to hold because there are no tangible decisions that are being made at the central government level. And I must say that confidently that people are very much eager for change. People really want something new. They are looking forward. As we celebrate, as most people celebrated the 2017 coup, people are waiting to celebrate a new dawn, a new rise, and a new change that is going to come. You know, a change which will deliver in terms of ushering in a new democratic state that is centered on the pillars of social justice.
I was hoping that with Mugabe's reign coming to an end, it could signal the birth of the earth of a democracy, and the birth of a democracy starting with the rule of law. At the same time, I was hoping that since this stern man who has been holding Zimbabwe behind since independence has gone, maybe something new, something different might come forth if we follow the law and practice that which we are saying. Since 2017 was post the introduction of the SDGs, it was post the African Charter on Democracy, Elections and Governance, I thought that maybe as Zimbabwe we were going to a place where we are seeing the rule of law and where we are seeing democracy taking course. Those were my hopes at that time, yeah.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, you are hearing from the youth there as they spoke more about the Second Republic of Zimbabwe, talking about its relevance and, of course, what it has done, or if there were any strides made there in terms of empowering the youth of the nation. Zulugandaba, lezo abantu abasakhulayo lisanda ukuzwa umbono ka umnumzana uAshley Phunye akanye lo sisi uThando Gwinji, bonke bobabili advocates of youth rights, bayasho ngempela ukuthi hayi bona kukhanya ngani kubaphula inhliziyo ngenxa yokuthi lapho eZimbabwe lathola uzibuse, njalo lapho kwangena ubaba uMongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa, abatsha really were hopeful besithi hayi eZimbabwe lilapho ukuthuthuka, impilo zabo zizatshintsha. Kodwa bona bathi cha cha cha, to this day babona ngani akukho osekutshintshile, babona ngani uhulumende okhona akula mehluko phakathi kuhulumende kabongabeli Emmerson Mnangagwa kanye lo hulumende owayengumongameli ubaba uMugabe. Besithi hayi khanye ngani uhulumende wabantu abensundu ulokhe kuncindezela efaka phansi abantu babo, besithi hayi bona kubaphula inhliziyo njengabantu abasakhulayo, because they really had faith ukuthi lapho kwangena ubaba uMnangagwa there will be a lot of difference. In the same spirit that lapho kwangena ubaba uMugabe, abantu babe lethemba lokuthi hayi kwele Zimbabwe there going to be some changes. So muri Zimbabwe mangamtshinzwa maondro aba Ashley Phunye kikanzwa zvekare maondro amuzvare Thando Gwinji, vese vari two vanhu vechidiki vanoita zvekurwira kodzero dzevechidiki munyika, vari kuhighlighta maondro avo nezvekupinda kwavamunangagwa pavakatora matomu ekuva mutungamiriri wenyika muna 2017, vachiti aiwa iwo nemaondero avo hapana chati chachinja pakati pehurumende yavamunangagwa pamwe chete nehurumende yavamugabe, vachiti aiwa paZimbabwe payakatora matomu vamugabe pavakatora matomu ekuva mutungamiriri wenyika pazvakachinja from the Rhodesian government to the Zimbabwean government, vechidiki vakawanda vemuZimbabwe they really had hope kuti pane zvachinja asi sezvataurwa nava Ashley Pfunye pamwe chete namzvare Thando Gwinji nanhasi vari kuchema 42 years later hanzi vechidiki vari kuchema nenyaya yemabasa vechidiki vari kuchema nenyaya yezvemamiriro akaita upfumi hwenyika zviri kutovarwadza. But let's hear from another young entrepreneur. He's also a ZANU-PF member, Umnumzana Kuda Kwashe Muntsanga, on his thoughts on the relevance of Independence Day. And of course, he touches on the incoming or of the second dispensation or the second republic. And he talks about the strides that has been made by Zimbabwe's government in terms of empowering the youth of the nation. So let's hear what Kuda had to say.
This is a very... very big day in the history of Zimbabwe, especially as far as the young people are concerned. This is indeed a day where the racist Rhodesian government was removed from power and replaced by a Zimbabwean government. This is the day where we attained our liberation. Our liberation meaning as young people, from this day onwards, we're free to participate in the political activities of the country. We're free to participate in the economic activities of the country because of this great day. It's quite unfortunate that because of time lapse, it seemed to be losing its significance. But this day should never be looked down upon by any reasonably thinking young Zimbabwean.
What do you think the youth have benefited? Yes, we removed the white government, the racist government. However, 42 years later, what do you think the youth have benefited from that, aside from the freedom of we don't have a colonial ruler anymore?
There is a lot that the young people have benefited in this country. Firstly, you must never underestimate the word freedom. It's unfortunate that we were not there. For those that were there during the liberation struggle, they would tell you how much the word freedom means to a nation. As it is, a number of activities have been implemented by the government after they attained independence, which has benefited young people. We are having a lot of economic activities, especially in the new dispensation, that are helping young people. For example, we are talking of activities in the economic mainstream, activities in the political mainstream. Look at examples like your Nelson Chamisa young people in the CCC. Now they can have an opportunity to participate in the political discourse of this country because the country is independent. We are also having an increased number of participation of young people in politics, where government has set aside a youth quota for young people to participate in the political mainstream. Opportunities in the economic sector have also been extended to young people. So there are a number of benefits that we have achieved post-independence.
What would you say to the amount of young people? Because I've spoken to a lot, and all of them have spoken to the points that you've highlighted of, for example, young people in participation. And they argue, well, if you look at government to this day, we're still fighting for a youth quota. You talked about the economy. There's a lot of young people who still say, well, they're still struggling to find a job. There's a lot of young people who are still talking about the high corruption rate that is interrupting with all these programs that you've alluded to. So what would you say to these young people who really are of that belief that 42 years later, they're still fighting these, I guess, for lack of a better word, challenges that you just spoken of?
We need to appreciate the fact that independence means self-determination, and not only political, but also economical. And this, I tell you, has been seen in the Second Republic. It has been seen in this government. Marginalized communities, a number of the marginalized communities, they are actually tapping into the abundant opportunities that the Second Republic is actually offering. Opportunities has been opened in the Second Republic. Young people are open to participate in the economics of this country. Banks have been opened by the Second Republic in order to benefit young people all over the country to be able to participate in the economic emancipation. A number of programs that have been implemented, for example, the livestock programs that have been given to young people, the youth quota that I've spoken about, the land that has been allocated to young people, far and above the overall economic growth that we are experiencing. Because at this present moment, one would argue, a number would argue that they can't see any growth in the economy. But the truth is that we are experiencing economic growth in this country that is also benefiting young people. 12 billion many industries becoming a reality right now as a number of mines are being opened in the country. We are having a number of infrastructure projects that are taking place right now in the country using our own resources, what we skin. We are not depending on donors, but we are depending on own resources under the Second Republic. We are dualizing the Mutare Plum Tree Road at the moment. We are doing the Chirundu to Bedbridge Road right now. Some would want to call it Harare Mashingo Road. It's being done in the number of some roads in the rural areas that are being touched. You know, all those are opportunities that are being given to young people in the new dispensation at the present moment. And guess what? A number of tenders are actually extended to young people in the new dispensation.
Awusitshela umbono wakho ngalolu suku ikakhulukazi njengomuntu ongisakhulayo odabuka kwele Zimbabwe.
Siyabonga baba. Usuku lolu lusuku olumele lujabulise wonke umntana weZimbabwe, especially thina esikhulayo. Lusuku olwasinika uzibuse wokuthi thina njengabantwana beZimbabwe sizibuse, njengabantwana beZimbabwe sizigcinye, sibe khona ukuhamba edolobheni singethuki lutho, sibe khona ukubana sitholakala sisenza ezembuso welizwe singahlupheki, sibe senza okwe-economy elizwe singadubeki ngenxa yokuthi silokuzibusa okugcweleyo, siyaziqenya ngokuzibusa lokho. So ilanga leli lilanga eliqakathekileyo sibili, especially thina abantwana esingahambanga empini, ngoba ngesikhathi leso singakafiki kuleli langa kwakungakhona ukuthi mina lawe sikhulume siphuma khonapha ku-TV abantu besizwa, ngoba sasincindezelwe ngamakhiwa. So kwakhathesi sokumnandi sokumgcikisa esikwazi ukuthi sikwenze konke ngenxa yamaxa wethu asilwelayo.
Uthintile udaba ngenhlelo zikahulumente ezikhona elizweni ezijonge ukuthuthukisa abatsha. Kodwa basakhona abantu abasakhulayo abaningi abakhala besithi abatholi amathuba lawo. Sike sathinta udaba lwemisebenzi, udaba lokuthola imali kuhlelo lwe-Youth Empowerment Bank. Bakhona abaningi abakhala besithi abakuboni lokho, ikakhulukazi endaweni zabo. Basakhona abanye sike saxoxa labo besithi abakaboni njalo u-official ovela kwi-Empowerment Bank obakhuthaza isithi buyanini liyothola izimali. Ungathini kwabasha kubantu abasakhulayo abalombono besithi hayi bona bathi uhulumende akasebenzisi gadala lokubathuthukisa?
Silabatsha abokuthi babe bemelele bona ukuthi belandwe yibhenk endlini izobanika. Ibhenk ikhona ukuthi inike omutsha olomubono ukuqalisa ibhizimusi, hayikhona ukuthi inike umuntu eyabengelamubono. Enganika umuntu nje ukulanda uhlezi umbuse bhawa, awusozi uyayidla imali leyo uyayinatha ungelambono. So abasakhulayo bona abayekele ukuthi kuthiwa into lezi zimelele kumbe abezanu PF abe-ruling party bayabesehla. Ungahamba ebhenki akula muntu obuza ikhadi le party yakho, awula muntu obuza ukuthi iphathi yakho, bakubuza ukuthi i-proposal yakho wena ufuna ukwenzani. Sebehlala lawe phansi sebekuncedisa sebekunika imali.
Isikhathi yiso sesidliwe ngumangoyi kuda bengisola ukuthi uphosela amazwi wakho okugcina kwabatsha bonke abalalela lengxoxo.
Siyabonga abatsha, sithi asikhangeleni ilanga leli esilayo elikazibuse u-18 April, silikhangele ngamehlo avuleke kakuhle, ngoba lilanga eliqakathekileyo sibini empilweni yethu. Sesilithethe ukuthi lilanga esathola khona izibuse kusuka emakhiweni. Sikhangele njalo ukuthi ilanga leli singaphambanisi ukuthi sibisele ilizwe lethu emakhiweni, ngoba singabisela ilizwe lethu emakhiweni kabe sesiku-colonization njalo. Njalo nje abasakhulayo, asihambeni sonke ngobuningi bethu, siregister ukuthi sivote ukwenzela ukuthi ilizwe lethu lizwakale njengoba i-independence icho ukuthi siyazibusa. Asambeni setshengisa ukuzibusa ngokuvota ngobuningi bethu 2023. Sihambe siregista kuma-mobile registration ayenziwa yi-ZAC ukuthi lathi sivote sibale, singakhali ngabanye ukuthi hhayi u-MP low akasebenzi unje wafakwa ngabantu. Faka u-MP wena ombona ukuthi nguye osebenzayo.
As we wrap up here in English, Kuda, whilst on the discussion of the democratic process, I want to talk more about the youth inclusion within this whole process in Zimbabwe. We're talking here, young people, a lot in Zimbabwe, when they hear democracy or democratic process, when they hear elections, they tend to shy away, merely because they don't see a lot of positivity that comes to it, which is why we have these discussions of youth empowerment, youth inclusion, etc., etc. So what advice would you have for the youth of Zimbabwe who really turn to democracy in Zimbabwe and say, when it comes to that, they have no faith in the government, they have no faith in democracy in Zimbabwe?
Let me first thank the government of Zimbabwe, because towards 2023, they are running two very important programs. The first program, which they are running at the present moment, is the registration of national identity cards. And as you are aware, His Excellency the President, on Wednesday, while addressing a gathering in Binga, where he also gave empowerment projects to the youth, where he gave some fishing rigs to the chiefs and the youth in Binga, he did scrap the cost that was associated with getting national IDs. As a result, as of yesterday, the Minister of Home Affairs has made a public announcement that IDs are going to be taken free of charge. What that does is it increases the number of young people who have got national IDs. When you have your national ID, now the next process is to go to SEC. That process, by the way, is going to run for the next 6 months. It's a mobile registration for IDs. The registrar's office is in rural areas, in towns. They are mobile, so to speak. They are giving young people national IDs, and those who have lost their IDs, they are replacing, so that people have got no excuse towards voter registration. As soon as that is done, I'm sure in the next, I think for the next, we are starting on the 3rd, if I'm not mistaken, of next month. For the 3 weeks, we are also going to experience a mobile voter registration by ZEC. This is where we also encourage young people, those who had their IDs, had never registered, and those who have recently acquired their IDs, to go and register to vote and speak in numbers. We implore our young people to go and register so that they can have a voice into the democratic space that we attend through independence. We are free, freedom of expression, freedom of association, freedom to participate in the political decisions. So let's go and register to vote, and we are able to vote. In addition to that, let's also register to contest in the upcoming 2023 election. I was excited. I'll give an example. For example, in Ibinga, we had a candidate, a young student from University of Zimbabwe, who is a student, who came and contested as an independent. Though he lost, but he did well. That shows democracy in the country. This is all about independence. You could not do that prior to 1980. We also had a number of women who contested in this election, young girls who contested. So let's all go and participate in the 2023 election, because independence detects so.
Well, Amuri Zimbabwe Mangamchinzwa zvataurwa kana vakuda kwasho mutsanga wechidiki webato reZANU PF vari kuti aiwane maondo avo hurumende yava Emmerson Mnangagwa iri kushanda nemazvo mukusimudzira vechidiki. Hanzi hurumende yava Mnangagwa iri kushanda nemazvo mukuremekedza zvakataurwa apo Zimbabwe yakawana kuti zvitonga kuzere vachiti aiwa kuchava ne freedom of association munhu wese kodzero dzevanhu dzichange dziremekedzwa hanzi nyika ichabigwa shuga hanzi vamunangagwa vari kushanda nemazvo mukuona kuti zvese zvichaitika imi muri yeZimbabwe muri kuzvionawo sei tipewo maonero nyorai macomments papeji redu refacebook tiripo pavoa shona tiripo zvakare pavoa ndevele tiripo zvakare pavoa studio 7 zvulukandaba so that's the discussion so far you've heard from Thando Gwinji you've heard from Ashley Punya and you've also heard from Kudakwashe Mtsanga who is a ZANU-PF youth member. He's also an entrepreneur in Zimbabwe. But now let's hear from Cheri Odzobo who's another youth rights activist. She's a member of the PYCD out there in Mashonaland West. So let's hear more from Cheri on her thoughts of the importance of Independence Day, or the relevance, rather, of Independence Day to Zimbabwe youth. So let's head over to a conversation that I had with Cheryl recently.
Okay, thank you so much, Mkomame. Firstly, we appreciate the history of the country from Rhodesia to Zimbabwe, the selflessness and sacrifice by our freedom fighters and liberation war heroes. As the young generation, we need nurturing so that the values of independence, that is love, peace, unity, and freedom and sacrifice carried forward. I think we are now selfish and divorced from our history as a nation and as a people with too much appreciation and unquestioned love for foreign objects and the values. We are at the verge of being recolonized for having no sacred values. Currently, economically, our natural resources are being controlled outside ourselves and concentrated within a few elites who are politically connected in the manner and imitation of the colonizers. We also shun our culture as pagan and primitive, yet it is what defines us as Africans and Zimbabweans.
Cheryl, do you think that there's anything that the youth of Zimbabwe have gained from independence?
I think those who are politically connected to those who are in the offices. Looking at our youth who are in rural areas, I think they have not benefited much. Even right now, if someone with youth or someone who is not married wants to have a plot or a farm or just a 2-hectare farm to use, even from our chiefs or headmen, he or she can't get that land because you are a youth and we are taken as unfocused. Yet some of us are people who are focused with the vision.
I've heard from government officials and those who are firm supporters of government who say that especially under the new dispensation, there's a lot of youth who have benefited from government programs. Here we're talking about the Youth Empowerment Bank. We're talking about the government HEFA program that targets empowering youth in agriculture and other government initiatives. What are your thoughts on that?
This so-called the Youth Empowerment Bank, actually speaking, in rural areas, I think there are a few who know about these things. The youth do not really know who is supposed to go to the Empowerment Bank or who is supposed to benefit. I think it's because these youths do not have enough knowledge of this bank or these projects are there are some areas where these projects are implemented, not in some areas also.
Now, with that in mind, what kind of changes would you like to see happen in Zimbabwe?
Okay, I want to see a Zimbabwe with youths who are focused, because right now a lot of youths are into drug abuse. There are a rise in early marriages. I think it's because these youths have nothing to do. My youth are namabasa. And they end up drugs, they end up mumma crimes. I think our Zimbabwe can empowerment days, put my projects, she also Jimbo level. Even my early marriages, I don't think it is no crumiza good, no rise. My kids is why I don't rise just because what I think might have dropped out of school just because I say I'm married, but I can want something to do. I know that I'm on your mabasema other than Ungofungobuti. Let me marry. Maybe no but in the one a good life.
Now, Cheryl, we've highlighted that government has done some programs, some empowerment programs. However, youths seem to share sentiments as the ones that you share, that the programs are not enough. They haven't benefited enough youths across the board. So what needs to be done to ensure that youth like yourselves feel satisfied and empowered, as per the reasoning behind why Zimbabwe was independent in the first place?
All right.
Now, in closing, Cheryl, we hear several youth-led organizations urging youth to go out to register to vote and partake in the democratic process of voting, because they feel as though the ballot box is the only way to bring about the desired change by Zimbabwean youth. However, there's still some youth who feel disenfranchised from this program or from democracy in Zimbabwe in general. So with that in mind, what words would you have for those young people who are disenfranchised, those young people who have lost interest or lost faith in the democratic process in Zimbabwe?
Okay. Some of my youths, are in ignorance. And let me say ignorance, because they don't even know kuti go vota kwakakosherei. Saka panotona kuti my youth anofanira kunge achizivawo kuti kuvota kwakakosherei, exercising their rights, because munhu wese anofanira kuti ange achikwanisawo kudii kuvota. My youth anofanira kuramba achiziva kuti sarudzo hadzisiri idzo dzose dzinobuda. Zvinenge zvabuda musarudzo tinenge takutongotambira, takutoenderera mberi development nekuti nyika yedu inge ichibudirira. So my youth pane nyaya yekuti kana mayouth kana vakafunga kuti wavo vari kuda haana kubudirira, saka life inenge yakutokuguma. Ndo zvimwe zvinokanganisi zvinotikanganisa izvozvo. Tikangoziva kuti sarudzo hadzisi dzose dzinobuda, zvabuda tongoenderera mberi nedevelopment neupenyu.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Cheryl Zobo, a youth rights activist there. Mzvare Zobo, aiwane maondorawo na nasi vechidiki, in terms of empowerment, in terms of freedom, in terms of opportunities, which is what they really, really want most, which is what would make them feel the spirit of independence. She's saying, those are promises are yet to be delivered to the youth of the nation. And so for her, Yes, it's an important day in terms of acknowledging its relevance in terms of Zimbabwe receiving its independence from colonial powers. However, the citizens are yet to reap the benefits of an independent state. Cherry Otobo also highlighted the discussion around how youth have turned to drugs as a coping mechanism. So we also have a clip there from Associated Press, which highlights how dominant this problem is, this pandemic is, of drug abuse among Zimbabwean youth, and how it's affecting the youth of the nation. And some of the youth that you're going to hear in this clip allude to the challenges that the youth have been highlighting here, youth such as Cherry Otobo, youth such as Ashley Funye, and youth such as Thando Binyu, here where they talk about unemployment being one of the things that's leading to youth taking drug abuse. So let's head over to that Associated Press clip, and when we come back, we wrap up with some youth.
Closed doors do not mean nothing, but it is just a matter of interpretation.
I'm going to give up. You will purchase all that. Mano ditakung butari sa ni benzin di ani chi danirak. Ani benzin di ani chi danirak. Saka lupa saka subscribe pa. Saka ipa pun lupa daga subasango subumira wi pa po.
Lupa mari.
Don't get that help on our relatives, especially at the moment we are.
It's really sad, and at times you just feel like, what can I really do to help these people? At times you get 4 to 5 calls per day of people who would like their relatives to be rehabilitated here, yet we have a capacity of only 17 people at a time. Our rehabilitation takes 6 to 18 months when someone is admitted at our center. So there is a backlog of people, a long list of people who are willing to have their relatives admitted here so that they can be rehabilitated.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe Sulugandaba, you are seeing there a clip by Associated Press, which is focusing on the drug abuse situation in Zimbabwe, how prevalent it is amongst the youth of the nation. But now, as we wrap up, I want to head over to a recent conversation that I had with Mandat Mlotsha, who's another youth rights activist in Zimbabwe. Now, Mandat Mlotsha was recently here in Washington, D.C. on a conference, a democracy conference, that was hosted by several different NGOs that brought young people from across the globe to talk about how democracy is being implemented in their countries. Now, Mandat talks to me more about the relevance of this democracy summit towards Zimbabwean youth, and of course, how democracy can be implemented to make sure that this entire discussion, as we highlighted with Cherry Otobo, as we highlighted with Kuda Kwashi Mtsanga, there's a lot of disenfranchised youths who really shun away when they talk about democracy issues. A lot of youth lose interest when you talk about registered to vote. A lot of youth lose interest when you talk about actually going out to vote. A lot of youth, to this day, when you talk about participate in the electoral process, go out there and be and attempt to be a member of parliament, a lot of youth shun away merely because politics in Zimbabwe has been associated with a lot of different things, amongst them being violence, which is something that's shunning the youth of the nation. So Mandate talks to me about that. She talks to me about the upcoming general elections and the work that they're doing at Makamba Network to empower the youth of the nation to make sure that the youth come 2023 want to participate in democracy, so that once again, going back to the ethos of what 42 years of independence means, can happen for the youth of the nation. So let's head over to that conversation with Mandat Mlotsha.
The reason why young people don't
always liked democracy is because democracy is based within political statements. So, if, for instance, if I'm in business, the idea is I can't do anything that kind of compromises the nature or the way in which I do business. So I think one of the ways in which we can get more young people involved is to kind of start translating democracy to the everyday work that they're doing. So if it's a young person in agriculture, start having conversations around how political policy or political processes and regulations affect the way that they do their business. In agriculture, if it's a young person in tech, or a young person that's doing climate change work, to start linking policy to climate change, to the agriculture they do, to technology, because once we do that, we then get young people thinking about how do I begin to, you know, influence policies that are actually more friendly towards the work I do. And I think the other thing that we can do is also to ensure that we start building democracy that works, because I think what we've seen, for example, in Zimbabwe and Africa, and maybe with different parts of the world, is the idea that democracy has not necessarily worked in the way that it should. So people get to a place where they're like, it doesn't work, it feels almost like an American project. So I think if we start localizing democracy and showing how it works in our different spaces, or what it means to us in our different spaces, we might be in a better place to encourage young people to be more involved.
Now, you guys have an election coming up soon, and you, during your panel, talked about the by-elections and how a lot of young people shied away from that. How do you change that to make sure that in 2023, young people are looking forward to this and understand the importance of that?
Yeah, I think I'll just reference some of the things that were mentioned by young people that were reflecting on the by-election. One of the things that they said is that part of the turnout, why it was so low, is because by-elections are not looked at as important as presidential elections that are coming up next year. So you find that the turnout for presidential elections is always higher than these other by-elections that happen in between. But I think going forward, as a country, as a young person myself, the responsibility we're taking is to kind of ensure that you build the value of the by-election, get young people understanding why it's so important for them to participate in the by-election. But towards 2023, I think the responsibility is around ensuring that people understand what the election means for them, but also how they can vote. Because some of them that didn't actually vote, there are some that showed up to vote, couldn't vote because they didn't have the necessary documentation, or they were registered in the wrong place, or things like that. So I think it's very important for us to then build visibility around the voting process and separating democracy from just the election. Elections are not just the day we show up to vote. Elections are a process that happens over time. So just being able to, you know, recognize that and be able to build visibility around elections and the process, I think it will help a lot, because it gives us more time to ensure that young people know, I don't just have to come and vote. After voting, what do I do to ensure that that election results actually make sense to the life I want for myself?
Now, in closing, you partially touched on the work that you guys do at Magamba Network. And predominantly, you guys do a lot of stuff in the arts world, mm-hmm. which traditionally people don't see that as part of politics or democracy, but you guys somehow link it. Could you explain to our audience how that is so important and how it translates to young people?
Yeah, so with Magamba Network, one of the biggest things that I love, I guess, about the organization, that our vision is to open up the democratic space in Zimbabwe, and the mission we have is to then produce creative forms of activism to do that. So I think our commitment is really around how do we mobilize the creative arts space, the young people that are within the creative arts and digital media space, to ensure that the content they produce is content that helps us understand processes that are happening around us, but also challenges us to rethink or to begin to challenge narratives and potentially to make demands for accountable governance, transparent governance, and also just leaders that work. So we do a lot of work. One of the biggest projects that I like in Magamba, interestingly, it's not the project I run, but there's a project that we run that's called Open Pali. So one of the things that we're doing with Open Pali is ensuring that parliament is accessible to young people. So live streaming parliamentary processes, providing interviews for elected members of parliament, ensuring that portfolio committees, their sessions are recorded, ensuring that cabinet briefings, the notes that come out from that are actually shared with young people, and young people have conversations outside just of the live streaming.
Well, Mudia Zimbabwe, you heard there from Mantate Mlotwa. That was me speaking to her here in Washington, D.C. Recently. She was here for a democracy summit, so we talked about that. But we've reached an end of our conversation. Tashika Kumagumo Echirongwa Chedusha Nasi. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Kuda Kwasha Mtsanga, to thank Ashley Pfunye, to thank Tando Puinji, to thank Cherry Otsobo, and of course, Mantate Mlotwa for their input towards tonight's discussion. And of course, you, our loyal listeners, as Tando Bonga Nina,
You are the guys who support us week in, week out. We appreciate your feedback. To everybody who shared the program, thank you very much. To everybody who wrote their comments in the comments section, thank you so much. To everybody who tuned in, Apano Pachirongwa Chodichewechi, thank you so much. And to everybody who's going to tune in after the program is broadcasted, Standa Ugulibonga, Linga Koshi Zuluganda, but continue writing your comments in the comments section so that we get to see your feedback. My time here is up. Mudia Zimbabwe. Tonight on The Connection, we're focusing on the relevance of the Independence Day, 18 April, towards Zimbabwean youth. You got to hear several youth speak their opinions on this day. I'm still curious to hear your thoughts. So, Linga Kwashi Zulugandaba, continue writing your comments in the comments section so that we hear your thoughts on the relevance of Independence Day towards Zimbabwean youth. I go by the name of Mike Hove Mudia Zimbabwe. To catch up with me, please feel free to reach out via social media at Mike Hove _ on Twitter and Instagram is my username. Mudia Zimbabwe, mthokazo muhle. Aiwa, isithashwa kumagumo echirongwa chedu chanhasi. Ngatisangane same time, same place, pano pane venue ye Studio 7 next week. Bye-bye!
Nera kana kamuri ya Zimbabwe ino Studio 7
tichitepe nyura tiri mu Washington DC lingali chona njani Zimbabwe omuhle le yi Studio 7 ekwethulela indaba ezimqotho nge Zimbabwe
sisakaza sise Washington.